Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Torch Livecast, the PW Torch Livecast, for Friday, February 19th, 2016. Long day. I'm Bruce Mitchell, senior columnist for Pro Wrestling Torch. I just finished the first hour of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, hosted by Wade Taylor, I don't know, seconds ago. So we talk about the Cruiserweight Tournament WWE is starting on the WWE Network. We talk about Fastlane, of course. A lot about Big Show and the main event of Raw and the show with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And anyway, very good show. Lots of interesting conversation, kind of back and forth possibilities. I'm sure right up into WrestleMania there'll be possibilities about some speculation on surprises for WrestleMania. We certainly covered some of that. So. That's there. If you are online on hold and you are not streaming this several days later or a few hours later, don't forget to press the one if you want to be on the air. So we will hit that at some point. So this is the Fastlane weekend, so we'll be looking to see what happens with the main event. Of Fastlane with Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar, and of course a lot of talk about Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns and how that dynamic went, an interesting dynamic, and where's Roman Reigns in this, and what exactly happens coming into WrestleMania. I'm going to I'm bringing on our friend and co-host Travis Bryant. Travis, hold on. Are you there, Travis? Is that you?
Yeah, what's happening, Bruce? Livecast audience, what up?
Would you please click the number one so you'll be up on the list?
Oh, crap. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, I know the area code. After that, I'm kind of lost. So, anyway. So what's going on this week? What's up?
You know, it was a week.
So, what do you think happens in the main event? Let's just go right to the mainstream main event. What do you think happens, Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar? Winner gets Triple H at WrestleMania. What do you think happens Sunday night? And I would say Sunday night and Monday are the real start of WrestleMania season. So, where do you see all this
I'm going to say Dean Ambrose wins the match. And I know that's not, logical even, it's logical, but it's not exactly popular. No one really thinks that they're not going to have Roman Reigns in that spot. But I think they're going to make that thing. I think Sunday is the start of everyone's realization, like, oh, they're going to do something different. So, yeah, so it's going to be Ambrose and Triple H on top at WrestleMania as unlikely as that might sound.
So they would replace Roman Reigns as the face of the company with Dean Ambrose
at the 11th hour. Yes, again.
11th hour.
Last time it was at the 11th, 11 hour 59 minute mark. They replaced him. This time they'll give you at least.
They replaced him, but they didn't replace him. Seth Rollins was the
right.
The heel
they replaced him as the supposed champion going forward.
Yeah, but they did. But Roman Reigns still was, the heir apparent to the baby face of the company. And so you see Dean Ambrose turns and beats, and he's a heel, and it's a heel versus Triple H,
that
doesn't make sense. Huh? I know. I'm thinking as I'm hearing myself, that doesn't make sense, which I'm sure other people do a lot, but I don't usually. Make the case for Dean Ambrose to replace Roman Reigns as the next
It's really a matter of WrestleMania not being a debacle and an absolute embarrassment. And if it's Roman Reigns versus Triple H, that's what it's going to be. Because the guy who's a scumbag and a terrible human being on TV, and it takes the, you know, uses his power and gets the advantage, books himself in as number 30 in the Rumble. Open the chat room, by the way. If it's not open, I don't think it is.
Wait a second. I was going to say at the beginning of this, some people need to get in this chat room. This is kind of hurting my feelings. You know, I go to all this trouble to, like, sweep it out. You know how much work it is to open this chat room.
Yeah. And then a few guests show up and they can't even communicate. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, so I'm going to do it. I'm doing it right now. Thanks for
but
selling
yeah,
that.
I think WrestleMania is going to be a debacle if the guy who's just a terrible human being is just getting cheered and by this uproarious crowd, and the other guy who's supposed to be the hero is getting booed out of the place. It's going to be, and that's what's going to happen. And do you think he's going to be able to help himself leading into that match and not, like, get that cool, he'll get the lines in on Roman Reigns. Roman won't get any on him. And even if he does, he's not really equipped to be effective in that respect, like cutting a guy down with slick.
Yeah, Wade and I talked about Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns being set up with the line, "I didn't beat him. I didn't beat Brock Lesnar, but I beat his ass." And he was being set up with that and not delivering it in a very compelling, intense way. And but I tell you what, if Triple H Bigfoots him or gets the last words on him, he's hurting himself, because this is a big, getting Roman Reigns over is a big part of Triple H's legacy. His reign as the Caesar of wrestling, as the Vince McMahon of wrestling, segueing from Vince McMahon with, Vince started with Hulk Hogan. If he hurts himself, there's a lot at stake with Triple H here.
Sure, and he so-called did the right thing and lost to Bryan at 30, and he went on to win the Triple Threat in the main event. So it's not Triple H won't do business, but I just think the lead up to that, and I don't, I'm not really talking wins and losses, the lead up, the cool factor, the people who, the guy who people are going to cheer, and Triple H is going to feed into that with cool guy lines and, snarky comebacks and things like that, because he's Triple H. He's looking at the ceiling at the end of WrestleMania. Getting there and the match itself, that, 20, 30 minutes is going to be, a debacle.
Yeah. And think back to the end of the Royal Rumble. When he threw Roman Reigns out of the ring, Triple H threw him out of the ring, he crotch chopped him, which is babyface DX move.
And
the crowd loved it. So I think we're gonna see I think we're gonna see the train wreck. Unless they pull Roman Reigns out of it, but I think Roman Reigns is gonna win. I think he's gonna go to WrestleMania, and I think WrestleMania is gonna end with him holding that title up over Triple H, and the confetti coming down and
fireworks.
I think you're closer to what's going to happen than not.
Yeah. It'll be ugly. And then the next night.
The next night
is going. If I already said debacle. What's worse than a debacle? Just an utter. I can't even imagine. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait till Monday or the day after. Oh, crap. Where will I be? Hopefully I won't be in the air on the airplane or something.
I imagine you may not be able to see it live, but you'll be able to see it. So.
Well, by then, I'll have been spoiled. Why I'm hearing echo, Bruce.
With me?
I'm hearing my voice back, half a second later.
Huh, I'm not hearing
just
that
occasionally.
On that.
Maybe it's my end. Hopefully no one else hears it.
Yeah. So, well, while you're hearing the echo or not hearing the echo, I meant to do it every week, and I don't think I did it last week. Plug your stuff. I'm hearing that the Flash is really getting interesting.
Yeah, it's Flash is. I mean, this season there are 12 episodes in, and I swear every show we go, wow, that might have been the best episode of the season. Oh wow, that might have been the best episode of the season. They step it up, and the stakes get higher and higher, really each episode. But yeah, me and Cameron, we do a podcast on the South Congress podcast. It's called the Fan by Fan Show. You can, and it's by with an X, Fan X Fan. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher and everywhere podcasts live. Or you can just go to southcongress.com, that's Congress with a K, and download the show directly from there or get linked to your favorite podcast hosting site from there. And even Legends of Tomorrow is the last two weeks, I said. Earlier in the week, I told my buddies, I said, that show was booked like a late 90s Raw, where everybody has something to do, no matter how seemingly slight, and you get just action, 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 and you're left with a huge, like, oh, I can't wait till next week kind of ending. It's
yeah,
totally.
Say directly what your show's about. I mean, we talked all around it, but for new listeners, say directly what the show's about. That you you guys cover?
Oh, the Flash. Oh, CW's the Flash, and we don't really cover Legends of Tomorrow on CW, but it kind of sometimes can't help it. But yeah, Fan by Fan covers CW's the Flash. If I didn't say that, so it's a really good show. We're highly rated on iTunes, so check us out, give us a listen. And also on Wednesdays, me and Cam, he replaced Dre earlier this or last year. Dre's schedule changed, so we had to switch the game up, and we brought Cam on East Coast Cast. So check out 5 years worth of archives on eastcoastcast.com, plus the show live every Wednesday, 6:30 till God knows when. So yeah, eastcoastcast.com, check us out.
Cool. All right. Ready to our friend that just went to our group, what's his area code?
785.
Okay. We're gonna start with our friend Darrell from Georgia. Kind of a
785 is Daniel. I thought that's who you were asking about.
That's who I was asking about.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, Darrell, you're up.
How you doing, Bruce? How you doing, Trav?
What's up, man?
Okay. I want to ask two questions. That's it. We're thinking that it's going to be maybe a triple threat match for the Divas title with Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha. Do they kind of remind you of the just a little bit better version of Jazz, Trish Stratus, and Lita back when they were feuding? Because most people forget about Jazz was in that feud at first.
Yeah.
Do they remind you of that and how good that was back in the day? And second question, it's for Bruce and for you, Trav, too. This is just an amusing question since the conversation from earlier in the week. Bruce and Trav, do y'all remember how many black champions were there heavyweight champions that have ever been, and when the first time a black heavyweight champion was? And that's it for me.
Well, Bruce, you had one before that was like went back well beyond like modern stuff, but right, like a major champion, like maybe not a world champion, but some kind of like major regional champion.
No, the WWA champion in Los Angeles, major promotion, Los Angeles, of course, you know, second biggest market. Back when Los Angeles had, you know, big time wrestling, Bearcat Wright, and you know, in the 60s, and that was or 70s, I'm trying to think which one, but that's a really big deal. He was supposed to lose to Fred Blassie, who was the king of Los Angeles, who was king of California wrestling, and refused to do it and left. But you know, Bearcat Wright, you have to, you know, definitely looking at that. I know people look at Ron Simmons, and I know that's part of the WWE mythology that he was the first, and you know, it was Bill Watts trying for the umpteenth time to recreate the Junkyard Dog, the phenomenon of the Junkyard Dog, and needing to put some energy into WCW, and Vader had been the longtime world champion, but for WCW, and Simmons won, but he didn't last, and it didn't work. And you know, to say this is some sort of pioneer, particularly that was, you know, in the 90s. I mean, that's I don't buy that. But there's a lot of, you know, wrestling a lot of times kind of behind the times as far as that goes. I mean, I remember being shocked in the 80s that WWF was talking about Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas being the first black world tag team champions, and I was just like, man, they're behind the times. But you know, that's kind of how that you know, how that goes. Let's see. Hold on. There we go, I think. All right, you back?
Yeah, I just called on another line, so sorry about that.
Okay. You sound a little clearer. I talked about Bearcat Wright, but I'm trying to think of there's other ones. Not really.
Yeah. And Darrell Gibson, it brings that up because we got into it on Wednesday, because the idea that there was an email that was like, you know, like who were the black champions or black guys that were worthy of being the champion, you know, like, you know, and the obvious one is, and he said, I forget the question exactly. I'm rambling a little bit, but it was the point was, I think he said there had been no black champions or something, and this idea that Rock isn't a black guy, that a guy whose dad name is Soul Man Rocky Johnson with an afro, and you know, a guy named Dwayne Johnson is what, you know,
yeah.
You know, I told the emailer, I said, ask one of your, you know, white friends, girlfriends, coworkers, or whatever. Hey, I want to introduce you to this guy named Dwayne Johnson. And then ask her, if one of the first two questions she doesn't ask is he a black guy? I'd be surprised. But
right,
that's kind of different topic. But yeah. So
yeah. And
his first thing, you know,
Jazz Lita and Jazz Lita and Trish Stratus. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a pretty good that's a pretty good comparison. And they were, you know, I'd say, you know, maybe Charlotte and Sasha and Becky end up more over than those three, but those three were, you know, Trish Stratus was a big deal, Lita was a big deal, and Jazz brought Jazz brought the fight, and so that's not a bad comparison. That's not a bad comparison at all.
That particular division, and you throw Victoria and Molly in there, and then Mickey James later, like in 05. But 03, 04, the women's division on Raw was different on SmackDown. They had Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson and Braun Panties. But the Raw women's division in 03 and 04 was probably as good as it got as far as American women wrestling up until now. That was it, that two-year stretch. Those women were really special.
I think he was right. I don't know.
Yeah, they had a triple threat. I don't remember the combination exactly. Jazz, Trish, Victoria, Jazz, Trish.
Lita. I don't think Lita was in it. I think it was Victoria. And they had some triple threat matches that were just spectacular that carried over from pay-per-view to Raw that were really, really, really good.
Cool. Yeah, they did. So, I mean, I think that's worth remembering, and I think that's something to. I think that the wrestling is better with those three now, but they haven't built them to the star power of those three yet.
Particularly, I don't know. Those ladies weren't chumps. I mean,
no, they weren't. They weren't at all.
I don't think it's if it is a gap, it's not wide.
Yeah, I think you're right. Kyle from New Jersey, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce and Travis, how are you guys this week?
Doing all right. What's up?
Not too much. I have a question on AJ Styles' WWE future.
Okay. I think he's got one.
If AJ Styles loses his third match against Chris Jericho on Sunday, does that mean either one of these two things? Does that mean that we should abdicate any hope of AJ Styles advancing to a major championship level, or does that mean Vince McMahon strictly hired AJ, or is getting his jollies off of punishing AJ due to the fact that he is the type of Southern that infuriated Vince as a child?
I don't think it's that last thing. I mean, as much as, you know, I'd like to. or for those reasons at least, just to punish him because he is who he is. It's like, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him, but I don't think so. I mean, again, I'd like to really, you know, I'd like to take it to Vince, as, you know, because he deserves it. Most, if not all, the time. If AJ loses Thursday, I don't think he has any kind of major championship, I guess, if you consider an IC title or a major championship, but I don't think he has any world title appearances or whatever in his future. And a loss this weekend would, I mean, solidify that in. What is the thing they do on Star Trek? Star Wars, carbonite? Put them in some carbonite or something. It would just be terrible for so many reasons. I didn't like the fact that he lost on SmackDown. I didn't like the fact that he had a match, Bruce, on SmackDown with Miz that I was watching as it aired, and I turned the match off because the day before on the East Coast cast, I said AJ needs to mow through Miz. Like, I don't care what the agents book. Just overwhelm him and pin him in 2 minutes, right? And it's just,
yeah, Wade and I talked about that, and I made pretty much the same point. I thought the match on Raw was a good match. I thought Miz was really good in the match, and I thought it shouldn't have been. I thought that it should have been 75-25, and I thought that because the character would be the phony Hollywood mid-carder guy who thinks he's giving advice to the badass. The badass should kick his ass.
Make it very clear that no, I don't need you. Which should infuriate the, you know, the egomaniac heel even more. You know, it's not that's going to hurt Miz's character. No, that could help. That could build his heel persona. But anyway, I thought he should. But he got so much offense, and Bruce Miz did. I turned SmackDown off. I said, I don't want to watch this. So I don't think AJ's going to lose, but if he does, that's
I'm not exactly where you are in that. I'm not exactly where you are in that, because it's in how they do it. It's if it takes the feud, in other words, AJ shows a frustrated Jericho that he is better, that he can match him and beat him, and then Jericho loses his mind, and then we go, and jealousy and anger, and then we go from there, and the feud elevates between, two pretty damn good wrestlers and two pretty canny guys, then I'm okay with Styles losing. I didn't like Jericho beating him straight up the second match. I didn't see any point in that. But
he didn't even heal to win the match.
Right. I just thought he
caught him.
They do too much. They do too much, even Steven, way too much. And I think that you want to tell the story of, clearly what they're doing is, Jericho's going to get more and more frustrated. He's kind of a tweener now, more babyface than heel. But then he's going to, this new great star is threatening to eclipse him, and then he's going to turn into a heel because of it. And he's going to, turn dirty to try to survive or try to have a chance to beat, the phenomenal one. And I think that's the story they're telling. So, it's in how they do it. It's in if AJ Styles is pissed and everybody watching it is pissed watching what Jericho did, and they want to see the next match, then I'm fine with it. But if it's, cooling down AJ Styles because of the list of things where he doesn't fit the prototype, I'm not fine with it. It's all in how they do it. Let's move to our friend Daniel. Daniel, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Well, good evening, guys. Appreciate you getting me in. I was going to say you didn't have to get me in first, so that's perfectly fine. Congratulations, Bruce, on the basketball.
Yeah.
My question is a little off topic, but it kind of relates to the AJ Styles thing. I'll say I just keep hoping Travis is right about them changing the main event from WrestleMania, because I have a 6 a.m. flight out Monday morning, and if they go with that, I mean, I know my buddy's not going to go for it. He doesn't like things the same way I do, but I would, beat the traffic if it was just up to me if that was the main event. I don't know.
Wouldn't watch it? I mean, come on, WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year. You wouldn't want to see how it lays out?
I
don't
want to see it, but I'd rather get to the hotel 2 hours before, I guess.
If the crowd turns on him, don't you want to see the crowd turn on him? I mean, wow.
I feel like the 1 year I'm going to WrestleMania, because it's the first and probably only time I'll get to go, that I get like the modern equivalent of WrestleMania 4 or something. And
WrestleMania 4. For those of you that may not have been around at WrestleMania 4, I mean, I was only 6 years old, but WrestleMania 4 was acknowledged as
I was 8.
That's exactly my point. WrestleMania 4, I will never forget this. I was living in Oxford, North Carolina, and I was the assistant manager of a department store, and this one of the folks that worked in the department store was a wrestling fan, and so I was like, this is what we got to do. We got to watch. And John Hitchcock had screwed me out of my Clash of the Champions ticket. So I was like, well, let's watch Clash of the Champions. And I talked them into getting WrestleMania. So it was like, and they had me over, and, the family, and they're eating and all this stuff. And so I just will never forget Clash of the Champions. They loved it. It was cool. And then watching that dull-ass tournament where, oh, God, it was just, they were, you know how when you're in somebody's house and they start looking at you like, get out? That's kind of what was going on there. And I was like, well, I want to see this, but it was like, and I kept thinking, well, it's going to get better, and it never did. And,
no.
Of course, the highlight to me was seeing Donald and Ivana Trump in the front row looking really uncomfortable and bored during the whole thing. But, he was a trooper. He stayed for the whole thing.
And I'm not saying it'll be at that level. WrestleMania has been so great in recent years. I'm afraid this one might be kind of disappointing and the modern equivalent, as I said. question way off. Maybe it's, I don't know if you want to talk about it or not, but did either one of you guys see the Ben Askren video they did to begging Dana White to get in the UFC?
No.
Okay. Well, he is a Missouri guy, and I'm a Mizzou grad, so I'm biased. But he has this tremendous personality. He's one of the top guys, if not the top guy in that weight class. And, you know, Dana just doesn't like him, so they won't sign him. And I was just wondering, I know Vince McMahon overlooks people and doesn't always push them the right way, but I was thinking if you could come up with some examples of guys that either WWF or back in the day, a big territory, just wouldn't sign because of personality conflicts, even though they could make money for the organization. Because I think Askren could do great at UFC. And if the song, this hello thing he does, the Adele song, it's hilarious. And he's a great showman, and UFC is missing the boat on him, in my opinion. I know he's more of a wrestler than a striker, but I'm a big fan of the guy.
Trying to think of someone too controversial for wrestling or two. Give me a week or let me think about that.
Okay.
Normally they had to kind of prove themselves, and you know you started low in a smaller promotion, and then you prove the ability to draw money. But Ernie Ladd was outspoken and a big sports star, and then but I can't think of who he turned off or given. The only one New York Jets Wahoo McDaniel, played for the Jets had Wahoo on his jersey and worked for McMahon and worked for Capital Sports and turned over a table on, was mad at a payoff, turned over a table on Phil Zacco, one of the promoters, and never went back again. That's kind of a personality thing. I mean, they even imitated him with Chief J. Strongbow, but I don't know if that really fits exactly what you're looking
for.
No,
that's really good, though. No, that's good. And if you come up with any more, if you share them on your audio or something, I'm VIP, so the other people can miss out. That's okay. That's cool. One last question.
Yes.
Are either one of you guys going to watch the Freak Show fights tonight on Bellator?
A little bit of it. I'm not. Is that the one that it was advertised as if it was going to be like some kind of big four-way wrestling match?
There's
two main events.
Okay, I saw like
Kurt.
Okay, but I mean, yeah, go ahead.
It's Hoist Gracie and Ken
Shamrock. Oh, okay, different. I'm thinking of something completely different. I saw a poster or some kind of ad with like Kurt Angle and Roy Jones and like what?
No,
where are they going?
That's a
different show.
Yeah,
Travis, off the air. We're gonna talk Dan into fighting Roy Jones, because it's Roy Jones against a fan, and I think that Dan has a puncher's chance. I think we can talk him
Bruce,
into it. And, yes.
You keep trying to get back at me. You'll get your chance in June or July.
Yeah, that's how you sucker somebody in the second time. I know how that works. But no, the one tonight, Kimbo Slice and Dada 2000.
Yeah, no, I heard Todd and Lee talk about it Wednesday. Yeah.
I mean, I think this is going to work for a little while. I mean, I think names draw. I mean, once someone's over, they can draw. Particularly when the imagination remembers them, and and not the reality. And then I think once people get burned. Not once, but after a few times of getting burned by watching these kind of fights, then maybe the bloom will be off the rose. That's my theory, but we'll see. But I mean, I think it's what UFC has left someone to take advantage of. It's sort of when WCW was, or wrestling, indie wrestling promotions would take the WWF guys who were washed up and put them on top of their shows and make some money that way. And so, kind of the same thing.
And I'll get off the phone, but the last show was fun for what it was. I mean, they had Road Warrior Animal come out and I think lead Shamrock to the ring, and it was pretty – like, the presentation was cool. So they made it into a good show for what it was. But I'll let other people call in, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. We're saying that Red Moore Animal's son, Laurinaitis, was John Laurinaitis, not John Laurinaitis, anyway, was dropped by his NFL team today. Was Wade, which was interesting.
Isn't he? I thought he was good.
I think he is good, but I think it was also clearing cap room or whatever the hell. I mean,
one of those things. Okay. Yeah.
So, let's go to the highlight of last week's show. That, of course, being Boris from Chicago. Boris, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hey, Trash.
What's up, man?
I got a little giggle out of what you did, but it was cool because I don't know what that was about.
I said I don't know what that was about. My bad.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Because if I wasn't in that situation, then I would have been able to talk.
Right.
But with them, I guess going in this direction. Do you think it'll be an organic situation like what happened with Daniel Bryan? I'm sure the fans are aware, some of us are, you know, that we don't want Roman Reigns to win. And you think they'll get behind AJ if he loses or just start a heavy push for somebody else other than what fits the WWE mold?
Boris, I mean, that's what you would look for as far as, you know, people compare Roman Reigns to Lex Luger and the Lex Express, and that the more popular choice was kind of the people's choice of Bret Hart, that situation. But, you know, Travis talked about Dean Ambrose, but and AJ Styles maybe, but I don't see a consensus ardent fan choice like that, or even just fans' choice that that's topping out Roman Reigns. I think it's kind of flat. What do you, besides Ambrose, Travis, what do you think?
You saying besides Ambrose?
Well, since you already talked about Ambrose and you made the case for Ambrose doing it.
I mean, you got a lot of guys coming back. So at this point,
that's right.
At this point of the year, you take a guy, you use a guy like AJ Styles or even Dean Ambrose, but AJ, because he's just, you know, newer and fresher and his impact could have just been greater. And you shoot him to the tippy-tippy top, but have him be a big, you know, linchpin of your show for 6 months while, you know, have him help be a huge part of holding things together until you're seen as Orton's and Rollins can all come back and be a healthy part of the main roster.
I think you can hold a pattern there or try that, but I don't think AJ's positioned to do that. And it's kind of there. I think we're either going to see Roman Reigns make it through all this and be the next part of the company, or we're going to see the train wreck. But I don't think we're going to see them. I don't think they're blinking now. And maybe they should blink. So let's roll to 623. You're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Travis. This is Brian calling from Phoenix.
Hey, Brian.
Brian, I'm sorry. I did that before, man. You're at the front of the list, too. Forgive me. Long days.
It's all right, Bruce. It's only been 25 years since this month.
I know. God, I'm just like holding my face in my hands. I'm so sorry. You're a great call and a good guy.
It happens to him. Bruce, it happens to him on Wednesdays every now and then, too. They'll send an email, and I'll just be like, oh, okay, Brian's on hold. And then I'll just talk for 45 minutes, and he'll have to go to, like, the karate class or something, and have to get off the line. And he had a 20-minute, half-hour window, and I just flew right through it.
Well, he's got a lot of patience. Brian, what you got? I'm so sorry.
Well, first of all, I respect Bruce, you and Trav so very much. So, first of all, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I hope you both have a real good weekend. What I would like to hear you both talk about is the Global Cruiserweight Tournament, Bruce. Now, earlier this month, actually like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I talked to Trav and Cam on the East Coast Cast. And what we talked about, what I brought up was that how with NXT, the TV show actually being really good, about how they probably could never actually have a cruiserweight show because this is how great NXT has been doing. And then suddenly now they're having this tournament. My question to you and Trav is that are we going to see some main roster cruiserweights or let's say WWE superstars in this? And then also, do you think this could be a showcase to reintroduce Hideo Itami? Because if it's going to start in July, that gives us enough time for him to, you know, rest and recoup and maybe come back. So that's really my only question about the global WWE, I should say, by the way, global cruiserweight series that's going to happen in July. Thanks a lot, guys. Hope you have a real good weekend.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for all you did.
Yeah, I didn't think of, wow, that's a good idea with Itami. What I've been hearing, our good pal Rich from Pittsburgh, VIP co-host of the East Coast Cast, he contends that it's a vehicle.
Rich from Pittsburgh. Okay, I got it. All right, go ahead. That reminds me of something. All right, go ahead.
He contends that this whole tournament is a vehicle to get, I should have to probably go back on my Twitter too far to find the guy's name. If Rich is listening live, he'll probably tweet it to me. But there's a guy, a cruiserweight guy, Triple H signed, I guess, a while ago. I can't for the life of me remember the guy's name. But they believe, or Rich believes, this whole thing could have been set up for him to shine in that tournament.
Hideo Itami, I mean, that makes sense.
La Sombra. I'm sorry, I have his name. It's Manny Andrade, a.k.a. La Sombra. Manny Andrade. Maybe he spelled it wrong, but Manny somebody, a.k.a. La Sombra.
I lost my train of thought here. I talked with Wade about this. Yeah, the Cruiserweight tournament is going to be on the WWE Network. Triple H is, I guess, sponsoring and William Regal is going to be booking, and you know, they're looking at the best. And I talked with Wade about this and what I thought of it, which was unusual for me, which is I think is exactly what it is, and I think it's a great idea. And it very well could be. I don't think we're going to see, and I hope we don't see, main roster cruiserweights. I don't want to see Neville in this. I don't want to see the Lucha Dragons in this. I want them to do what they kind of said they're going to do, scour the world, give that opportunity, book it out. They're going to have highly motivated top cruiserweights. And, you know, and if someone gains traction in front of that crowd, if someone gains traction on social media for those of us who are watching on WWE Network, then you can start thinking, you know, then they can think about signing them and where they fit in. But I think this is going to be exactly what it seems to be, and I think it's also, you know, PWG. I think it's the corporate champion having the cool indie tournament, and Wade and I both talked about ways that you know, and Triple H did kind of talk about this, but that can help the smaller companies, and I also was my usual cynical self about some of that too. So, but yeah, I would be very surprised to see. I don't think that's worth doing, because either. And the other thing is, you know, you have these mid card tag team wrestlers or cruiserweights doing a certain thing that you wanted them to do, and then you bring somebody in from the outside who has nothing to lose trying to outdo them. I don't think that helps your main Raw roster bringing guys over there. But let this be something for wrestling fans on WWE Network to watch.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense, probably
yeah.
Does. So let's see. Let's roll. What am I doing here? All right, regaining my focus.
Yeah, I thought that's what Kylan was going to call in and talk about. They called in.
Yeah.
We talked to him when it became official. But now that they have a title or a name, I guess, for Global Wrestling Cruiserweight Series or whatever they're calling it, and it's been talked about all week. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I'm most interested to see who they bring in, and who goes out in the first round, how that's taken. This is going to be a lot of a consternation surrounding this, I bet. From fans.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really interested in how it's booked out too. I mean, what you know, what they do
well,
and
hey,
that mean
they. Because of how that Dusty tournament was booked, I've done a complete 180. Like before that Dusty tournament, well, because of the I didn't believe in a lot of who they were going to bring. I didn't think they were going to bring in a lot of outside talent. But they show that they're very willing to do that. And this is a tournament specific to bringing in outside talent. So I think they'll have what four you know. 4 or 5 months to think of to come up with ideas for this thing. So I think this is going to be really well done. I'm willing to talk myself into getting really excited and to giving them all every benefit of the doubt. Like, oh yeah, they're going to do good with this.
I'm
just
right
because
there
of
with
that
you. I really am.
Dusty tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I really am. 813, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast. 813.
Hello?
I hear you. Yes.
Hey, this is Jay from Tampa. How you doing?
Doing
good,
well.
All right. I had two quick questions. My first question that I had is about Daniel Bryan. After the information that came out about the seizures, where he was aware of those, does that kind of changed somewhat the view, in your opinion, of his character as far as not too long ago, just like really venting about being cleared to get back to the ring, like around the time the Bullet Club information had came out, like he wanted to really get in and compete. Does that make him look a certain way of have already known that about his own? It's kind of like Booker T said, where you don't know your body, nobody knows your body better than you do. Well, technically, doctors should know your body better than you. That's what they do. But with that type of information, would you say that makes him look a certain way?
Yeah, he looks like he looks. In that situation, he looks like kind of a meathead athlete who was willing to put himself at risk. You know, just kind of typical for what we know about that. Especially in the contact sport, that they hide stuff, they don't. We know this about football players. We know this about boxers and MMA fighters.
Well, you know, and part of the athletic ethic is you push through. You know, you sacrifice. You make it work. You do whatever it takes to win. You play hurt. And so, there's a line between playing hurt and hiding a seizure, you know, hiding seizures. You know, I mean, you know, where is that? And Daniel Bryan, for as big an anomaly as he is in his character as far as wrestlers go, still the chink in his armor is the willingness to bang heads, the willingness to take risks that were inevitably going to lead to concussions and then work through them. And so I'm not surprised at that. It kind of scared me a little bit. I think that he's, remarkable. He loves wrestling and wanting to perform. And then the rest of it, he doesn't share a whole lot in common with a lot of people that have been in professional wrestling all the years, you know, good and bad. So, but it didn't ruin it for me, but I kind of thought, I mean, he's like, it's just what you said, Travis, he's like a lot of athletes. It's, I want to play and I'm willing to take the risk and tell me I can't.
That's
changing.
What's disappointing is the lack of forethought. I mean, my first thought is, what if he gets cleared, he's wrestling, whatever, he has a seizure after a match or something? They're going to, no matter, because no one knows about his history, I would think probably immediately the opponent, like Mike, start getting fingers pointed at him. What did you do?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. And he's like,
yeah,
I don't know. And then even if Brian then clears it up, like, no, I've had this history. Well, if it gets out that such and such gave Brian a seizure, but it's the whole big splashy headline, but then the page 5 retraction in small print. It's the big lie headline, such and such did this, and then 3 days later on page 5, no, he didn't. Sorry, we messed up.
Yeah.
But nobody remembers that. Everybody still talks about the big lie, big splashy lie headline. And, he could really have gotten somebody caught up in, but so that's not a good look for Brian, especially for somebody who's, is thoughtful and all those kinds of things that he is.
412, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hi, this is Rich from Pittsburgh.
Come on, Magoo, with all that noise.
There you go.
Yeah, that's him in the background playing. Hey, Travis. Hey, Bruce. Yeah. How you guys doing tonight?
What's up, man?
Excellent. My question was really a follow-up to what you were talking about with the Cruiser Tournament. I was looking at a couple of the articles they put out when Triple H started announcing the Evolve situation, and it seems like all of the guys they listed are perfect for it. Zack Sabre Jr., Biff Busick is already in the system, Rich Swann, like all 5 of the guys they listed on WWE.com as faces to look in the future seem to me like perfect fits. So do you think that this is pretty much a foregone conclusion? They have, like, say, 18 of the 32? Because I mentioned to Travis on Wednesday, we thought it was going to be 16 people. I didn't realize it was going to be 32.
Yeah.
I would think before they set everything up that they would have a pretty good idea of, how far the talent would go and where they want to go with it. I would think they know that. I mean, I think they would have 32 to 40, strong candidates, and not just go, okay, we've got 15 strong candidates, and we can fill out the rest we can find the rest of them. I think that they'd be scouting it out before they do that. And there's certainly, that it's a style that, a lot. Daniel Bryan had a big influence, and he's not the only one, but it's a style that a lot of guys are trying to master.
Go ahead, Trey. Real quick, what we did talk about Wednesday was how do you have a 32-man tournament in 10 hours? 10 hours of TV with ads, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
are the first 6 episodes round 1? I mean, you have to have 16 matches. You have to have, 4 matches. So the first 4 episodes are all round 1 matches.
Those are questions that need to be answered. 718, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
I'm Sunshine, Bruce, Mike, and from Brook. Just whatever.
Hi, Mike. I'm good.
Just to add on to the whole cruiserweight thing, do you think somewhere down the line, eventually they'll reintroduce the cruiserweight title, the tournament, if it goes over well?
That's one way to do it. It might also be that they cherry pick, from the tournament and put them in WWE without, put them in WWE main roster or NXT, feed NXT, feed WWE, and then keep this as something they do once a year. And this is their cruiserweight division. This is it. But if it takes off, if they show that it drives metrics on the WWE network, then I could see them bringing that to Raw. And frankly, you've got 3 hours to fill. It'd be a nice, a self-contained cruiserweight universe would be would help them if they thought about it, they figured out how to do it. I don't expect it, but I can see it.
Right. And as far as the main event on Sunday, do you think it's possible they'll go for the double pin or something like that?
Travis?
Huh? Wait, who gets the double pin?
Do you think you think it's going to be straight Roman, or you think they, you know, might turn and listen to the fans again and go for like the double pin, like maybe Roman and Ambrose pin Brock at the same time or something like that, scenario like that happening?
Oh, I don't know. I hope not. I hope one guy wins, clearly, even if it is Roman Reigns. I don't want to. Yeah, I'd rather not have that kind of controversy going into. I wouldn't want to see that. No. That particular finish, no, I wouldn't.
I don't know, but for some reason, it feels like Roman's going to turn bad. I think he's going to turn.
I hope that happens. But I want Dean to win and then he turns because of, you know, but even if he doesn't, I still want Dean to win and then Roman go do something else.
I don't know. Just seeing him and Paul Heyman together, to me, that was gold. Like to see them together.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar isn't exactly setting the world on fire anymore. So this wouldn't be. Because before, it's like, you can't separate Paul and Heyman, or Paul and Lesnar. You can't separate Paul and Heyman, but you can't separate Brock and Paul. Now it might be the time, because Brock isn't that special attraction anymore. He's just a part-time guy that people enjoy seeing, but doesn't make a big difference anymore, numbers-wise. So, hey, why not split him? Why not go full on with Roman? Not only turn him heel, but give him a... Oh, man, people hate Paul Heyman for... You went with him? of all the people you picked, you picked him? Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's talk to our friend Jason from Australia.
Yeah, hey, guys, can you hear me this week?
Yeah, man.
Sounds
good.
Better.
Yeah. All good. You know what gives me hope that Dean Ambrose actually might win on Sunday is that he got the main event spot on Raw, and by that he got the main talking point with Stephanie McMahon. He got the promo with Stephanie McMahon, the Raw before the pay-per-view. And I kind of like that dynamic between him and Steph, to be honest with you, and I also like the dynamic between him and Heyman on SmackDown, so... You know, I've been on this whole Dean Ambrose winning, so I'm still on it. I'm still holding out hope. I think he's still going to win.
Well, Travis is with you. I'm not. I think we're going to see Roman Reigns exactly in the way that people think we're going to see Roman Reigns on Sunday and at WrestleMania. But, that would be. I do think it's, like, really interesting how they are so careful with Roman Reigns not to put him, you know, not to have him do very much where, or put him in any kind of situation where he's going to get moved even more than he is. So, you know, Ambrose has kind of picked up the slack there, but I think there's still, I mean, that should tell them something, but I don't know that it does.
See, the thing about Dean Ambrose winning, well, say, I mean, because I know Wade's been talking about, you know, Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker. Say they do go down that path. I'm not a fan of Roman Reigns turning heel, say, after Fastlane. I'd like for him to do it after WrestleMania, because if you go with Roman Reigns and The Undertaker at Mania, I think you want fans to feel like they're going against the script by booing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I would rather him turn heel after WrestleMania, because if he goes to WrestleMania as a heel, it sort of takes the fun away from the fans, and I think with the story you're trying to tell, that he finally snaps. I think you want to play into that.
I don't think he's turning.
But if he were to turn,
if he's a failure, but it's like, I mean, if they finally decide he's not their guy, but I think he's their guy still.
But if he were to turn, Bruce, if they came to you and said, We're turning him. It's absolute. It's 100% going to happen. When do we do it? Do we do it at Fastlane, or do we do it after WrestleMania? Maybe the Raw, or 8 days later after WrestleMania, or whenever.
I think you do. You do it at WrestleMania or the Raw after WrestleMania. Maybe they go.
Okay.
Or maybe they go for the you know, he wins, the fans boo him, and then he turns the next night because people like you, Travis, have no faith in him and blah, blah, blah. You know, they used to do
that. So he's the champion.
I don't
wins
miss
it.
That. They might.
They pelt him with insults and boos. Next night, you know, fine.
then screw you people. This was the crowning achievement of my life. This is going, you know, and then you treat me this way. I've done nothing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Bruce, I'm just going to say, sorry about that, Bruce. Just another point, and I want to move completely away from this. Just a point, you know, over the past couple of years, I've become more sympathetic. I don't know if sympathetic is the right word, but sort of more understanding of, say, Hogan and Brett and the like. You know, these guys that were really protective of their character and always thinking about their next opponent and the next money feud. You know, with CM Punk's podcast, one of the things I got out of it that wasn't really talked about was when he talked about WrestleMania 29. And he said, okay, what have you got? So he goes to Vince, what have you got for me after Undertaker? And Vince goes, well, I don't know. What do you want to do? See, on the surface, that seems like a compliment, but I think that's an indictment on the lack of forward planning. And it just got me thinking, how many guys do you think today are actually thinking about that next feud, where they're going in the next couple of months? You know, Brett in his book talked about how he wanted Vince to build up these heels and bring in more heels. He was always thinking 3, 4, 5 months ahead. Do you think Bray Wyatt's asking that question? Do you think any of these guys are? And I think it goes back to Wade's point about Roman Reigns. I just show up and get paid what I need to do. And I think that's a serious problem that these guys aren't questioning and aren't taking control of their careers.
I agree with that. And I think it wasn't, you know, and I know you know this, but it wasn't just Bret Hart or you know, anybody else. I mean, that was every main eventer in every successful promotion, every guy that made a lot of money, every big star in wrestling, whatever company they were working for, was thinking like that. You had to think like a chess player. You know, this is the feud. Where does it go? What happens? Do I move on? Does he move on? You know, what's next after this? Even if this is hot, how do you sustain it? How do you get it up? And they had more, because they had more choices in their career. They had more to think about like that, and more you know, and more options. And these guys, you know, I think there's a lot of wrestling fans that are like this too, and wrestlers. It's like, get to WWE, and then, you know, you're working in a corporation, keep your job in the corporation. And, you know William Regal talking about being and they all do, talking about being flexible. In other words, when you get that, when they say you're going to be the turtle, and here's a turtle hat for you, you make the best of it, and you don't go, this is going to ruin my career. It's like you figure out a way to do something with it. You figure out, you know, your R-Truth figuring out a way to be the comedic fan, you know, the comedic mid-card guy who gets featured every week and extends his career several years. You know, that's and you're not thinking about how can I get to the main event and make the most money and then continue that. But I think that's it's a change in the culture, and because wrestlers are not thinking that way, I think we're seeing duller, you know, we're seeing some duller shows.
Mm. Duller wrestling. I mean, I just think of Bray Wyatt losing to John Cena. Okay, where do I go from there? What have you got for me planned? Well, we don't really know. You've got Cena, you lose that, then you just go back to mid-card. You know, same with Rusev and Cena, and same with Bryan the Undertaker. You know, and I just think these guys are afraid to really ask what the next 3 to 4 months is for my career, because, you know, WWE creative probably don't know. And the other point I wanted to raise this last week with Daniel Bryan. You know, one of the great legacies I think he leaves behind in the short term immediately, forgetting about like who he was as a person and whatnot, but he's actually made a call as a character to be a good guy. You know, he's that good guy that you want to get behind. He doesn't have to be mean to the fans, you know, to treat him mean, to keep him keen. He's just got that good nature. And I think he's opened the door for the type of Bayley and Sami Zayn characters. And it's refreshing to see good characters get rewarded on TV. And, you know, in a world where people look to wrestling as a form of escapism with a lot of crap that's going on in the world, I think that's nice to see. And I really think he's accelerated that.
I think there's definitely Jason, good. It's good to have you back on the show in a clear way, and I really thank all the callers on the show. Just a tremendous job. I just think, and the live cast. I think Wade talks about this, but we're really seeing tremendous growth, and that's a big part of it. And you guys are a big part of it, and I appreciate people downloading. And, you know, most of the people you're hearing are VIP members, and I think they're pretty happy with what they're getting. PW Torch Patreon.com/govip to get the particulars. It's a great value. Travis, thanks for your participation and all that good stuff. I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking I'm going to have to start watching The Flash, which kind of bothers me. So not doesn't bother me, but I've got to carve out some time. Because I mean, I know you guys do a great job with that, but I'm hearing really good things about the DC side of the TV now.
So they've got the TV side locked down. Marvel might do really good movies, but the DC TV shows are really good.
Wade Keller and I and Pat McNeil and maybe Todd Martin, but anyway, we'll be up for VIP members after the Fastlane show right after that. And, of course, the live cast half an hour after Fastlane ends here on this network will be available for folks to call in and vent and talk about what they've just seen on the WWE Network so on Sunday night. So
And Bruce,
yeah.
The Ultimate
yeah.
is really good. I didn't have the first three editions. I have one and two.
You know what? Oh, okay, because I was a little worried that would be a little too much, you know, history of Marvel and all the great stuff, you know, all the convoluted stuff, and I kind of thought I'd made a mistake, although I love that book.
I always liked the idea of Galactus as a bad guy because he just seems just, how do you beat a guy that can eat a planet? Like, that's...
Right, yeah.
But this team, they're incredible. I mean, and just like me, I like all the women characters are just my favorite. That Mrs. America, the way Spectrum put her over a few pages in, I said, how can she not be my favorite? So, real good stuff so far, and a great recommendation.
Let me make another recommendation because this just started, came out this week. Power Man and Iron Fist, number one. I just finished reading it, and I just thought, wow, that was great. And, like, you know, jump in with no problem. Jessica Jones, who's going to be, you know, who's part of the Netflix Marvel universe and Luke Cage and all that. But, I mean, that was really well done. That's pretty cool, too. So I'm glad to hear that because I thought, okay, who is Black Panther you'd be fine with because you could, you know, you know, it takes you right into everything. But I was like, maybe I made a mistake with Ultimates, but because it's so, you know, having to know your comic history, but that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that book a lot.
I mean, I'm surrounded by people that can fill me in almost literally at a moment's notice, so that's fine.
That helps. That's very helpful. And wrestling
yeah.
is very similar in some ways,
yeah.
too. So. All right, Friday night.
Cool.
Glad to talk to everybody, and glad it's Friday night. We'll see you next Friday on PW Touch Livecast. Thanks, Travis.
Thanks, Bruce.